perfect makes practice. This is Dr. Herbert Alvarado, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Perfect makes practice. Well, we often say practice makes perfect, but scientists are doing a great deal of research into the area of the mind and the area of the brain and the area of things that people do, and they're finding out that practice in the mind makes perfect. That the sports people, sports athletes, the people who are scientists, the people who are working in various fields, who must think a lot, are not using their brains in a way that scientists had expected. We all have heard the story, long time ago, of one of the prisoners of war in the Japanese war camp, who was confined to his cell, and he was unable to talk to any other person, and they were given all sorts of difficult circumstances to live on. But this one prisoner, well, the one prisoner decided, okay, I always wanted to learn how to play the piano. So he created a keyboard in front of himself, and he created what he constituted a keyboard to be in his mind, and he practiced on him. And he practiced for several years. And when he was finally released from prison camp, he played the piano quite nicely. And he has never played before. Now, another prisoner wanted to play golf. And, of course, he couldn't in his cell. So, he pretended. He practiced in his mind. He even stood up and practiced with his hands holding the club, with his mind, but always with his eyes closed. And he would swing the club in perfect harmony, and he would strike the ball in perfect harmony, and he would do everything in a perfect direction. He'd see the ball go where he wanted it to go, because he could not have an actual ball. He mentally saw the ball go where he wanted it to go, and he put it exactly where he wanted it to go. He was enough of a golfer that he knew the various ranges, and so he mentally played on those golf courses and did quite exceptionally. Well, there's a golfer, Derek Jeter, of the American League playoff with the Yankees in 2001. And he had to make so many decisions at one instant, it seemed like an impossibility. I'll read a little bit what it says here. The qualities that set a great athlete apart from the rest of us is lie not just in the muscles and the lungs, but also between the ears. That's because athletes need to make complicated decisions in a flash. One of the most spectacular examples of the athletic brain operating at a top speed came in 2001 when the Yankees were in the American League playoff game in Oakland with the Oakland Athletics. Sportshop Derek Jeter managed to grab an errant throw coming in from right field and then gently tossed the ball to a catcher, Jorg Pasha, who tagged the runner at home plate. Jeter's quick decision saved the game and the series for the Yankees. To make the play, Jeter had to master both conscious decisions, such as whether to intercept the throw, and the unconscious ones. These are the kinds of unthinking thoughts he must make in every second of every game. How much weight is put on the foot, how fast to rotate his wrist, and see releases the ball, and so on. In recent years, neuroscientists have begun to catalog some fascinating differences between the average brain and the brain of the great athletes. By understanding what goes on in the athletic heads, researchers hope to understand more of the workings of the brains, those of the sport legends and the couch potatoes alike. Now, we look at some person like Jeter and we think, what an amazing man. Well, how do we know what he does? the basketball players, they can't always be on the court. They can't always be out there practicing on the court. They are a great deal. But they practice in their backyards, or they practice in their minds. They, instead of watching television, they sit back in their room, lay back on their bed or sit in their chair, and they imagine themselves playing the game. They cause their brain to work so fantastically that it does beautiful things. It's just absolutely amazing. They found out that an athlete's brain is a brain that is in a resting state, waiting for it to leap into action. Like one who is in meditation, his brain is in a meditative state. It's in a resting state. It's in an alpha state, ready for anything that's going to come along, but it is totally relaxed, totally at peace. Now, scientists are trying to understand how this works and how we can utilize that in very beneficial ways for people in many areas of their life. And it's not an easy thing to do. But it is coming up with some very wonderful athletes. They manage to rewire their brains according to certain rules. Well, now, how do athletes rewire their brains according to certain rules? They practice in their mind. They practice in their mind. They practice in their head. They don't struggle and say, I've got to do it, I've got to do it. They just create themselves doing what they want to do, doing it perfectly. Now, we've often spoke of Tiger Woods and his magical golf clubs. And he is indeed a magical golf club worker. He is an ordinary human being. He has ordinary desires, ordinary programs, and ordinary plans. And yet, he, from early on, from the practice with his father, from childhood on, he was taught to see the ball where he wanted it to go. He would strike the ball. He would take the golf club and hit the ball. And he would see the ball go where he wants it to go. He would not see the ball where it was going, where it appeared to be going, where it would go if he were watching it. He saw it where he wanted it to go. And he did this often. He did this every time he put his club to ball. Every time he struck that ball, he put it where he wanted. And great tennis pros have taught this too. They said it's not where the ball is, or what the ball is, or who the ball is, or what anything. It's a matter that you, mentally, you see your racket striking that ball and putting it where you want it to go. You lean forward on the racket, or you lean back on it, or sideways, but you do whatever it is that you feel is necessary for the racket to put the ball in the right place. Now, the possibility of the racket putting a ball in any one place is infinite. The possibility of the racket not even benefiting you in striking the ball. You have to practice putting the ball where you want it to go. And you take the racket and you move it to put the ball there. It's not how you hold your wrist, some say it is. It's not how you hold the racket, some say it is. It's not the twist you put on it or the way you think about it, but perhaps it is the way you think about it. Where is that ball going to go when you hit it? Do you want it just to be out of reach of your opponent so that you can make a point? Do you want to put the ball on your golf course in just the place that you want it to be at this length of your stride? Sure, you could make a hole in one. That'd be lovely to have the ball go directly into the hole. But you put the ball on the green, or you put the ball near the green, or depending upon how you want to play the game. If you're always a winner, that is, if you always just put the ball from the tee to the cup, nobody would want to watch your game. So you have to play your game with various skills in mind. You have to put your ball over here, over there, up here, down there. And so the athlete, he sees the ball coming at him at the baseball game, and he has to grab it where it is. Now, He may be 10 feet to the right or left or back or fore, and he's got to run quickly, and he's got to see that ball coming right into his glove. And he has to see it coming into his glove in a proper manner so that he can grab it, and then he has to be aware of who he's going to throw that ball to have it be of any benefit further. Oh, his catching the ball may stop the batter from gaining a point, but he wants to stop the other people from moving in and making steps on the game, because they can still keep moving once the ball is caught. And he has to be aware of where to throw the ball. Now, this is beautiful. This is fantastic. This is imagination beyond a doubt. Think of the master. Here we have an artist, and he's standing before his palette, and he's looking at his canvas, and he's thinking to himself, "My goodness, I have a thought in my mind of this beautiful scene, and I'd like to put it down there." Mentally, he has the sketch outline in his mind. He has a whole picture first, but then he has a sketch outline. Let's see, what do I outline first? First, I will take the dark colors, and I will put the dark colors on there, and I'll put the outlines on the things I want. And then I will bring in the light colors, and I'll bring in the light colors where the light colors should be, and then I'll bring in the other colors, which will blend with the light colors to bring out the various aspects of the color scheme that I plan to bring forth. Now, he's doing all of these things in his mind. Now, he's not worrying about it, and he's not stressing himself out. He is just mentally having his mind be at rest, and he is just flowing with what he knows he does. It's practice that makes him perfect, but it's perfect that makes him practice. Now, as we practice, as we put a thought forth in our mind, we come up with great and wonderful things. In our University of Healing program, we have a requirement that on each one of the lessons, you write a 100-word essay answering a question about the essay. 100-word exactly, not more, not less. You write 100-word exactly, 100-word exactly. Well, by the time you're done writing one or two of them, you just naturally seem to write 100 words. And by the time you come to your chapter end, the book end, and you've written 30 100-word essays, it's a snap for you. You just think, 100-word essay, and you write it. Now, your mind puts all those factors into point. You have a balanced essay, a beginning, a middle, and an end. You have the words that are functional and proper that define and say. You don't have to add a the, and you don't have to add other adjectives or adverbs or words just to fill. You just write perfectly. You don't even have to take away words. You're building this skill. And this skill is a very relaxed skill. It's not, oh dear, oh dear. This skill is just a thought. I know what to do, and I do it beautifully. Now, everyone has this ability. Everyone has this talent. Everyone can do this wonderful thing. But we have allowed ourselves to worry ourselves to pieces about whether we can or whether we will or whether it's a possibility. And because we've worried ourselves to pieces about it, we have not done our best. We have not been the master painter, the master sportsman, the master thinker. Now, we can be the master of anything we do if we learn to be at peace with ourselves. And let our brain, which has the capacity to do anything, come forth with the magic that it can do. And all we do is to see the ball where we want it. We see the essay, the length we want it. We see it having the information we want in it. We follow the instructions. The essay calls for it. When we answer the question, we are always at ease. We are masters. Einstein never worried about anything. He just listened within. and let the divine within him reveal to him the answer he wanted. Great athletes just know within themselves, I can get it, I can get it. They don't say that. They just get it. And they just are up there and doing it, and they are like beautiful ballet dancers moving perfectly in accord with their program. The ballet dancer has a program that the ballet dancer is dancing to. The sportsman is a ballet dancer dancing to the program which is being written each moment he's playing it. It's brand new. It's a choreography that has never been done before by anyone else in quite that same manner that he's doing it, because he's listening to his inner choreographer showing him what movements to make to accomplish the goal that he wants. You have that inner choreographer. I have that inner choreographer working within me, guiding me at all times to do all the things that I choose to do, and to do them beautifully and wonderfully and gloriously. And if this interests you, and you're interested in knowing a little more about it, you can look at The Brain by Carl Zimmer in this last issue of the Discovery magazine, which has Mr. Einstein on the cover. And it is the April 2010 edition. But that is just one of the many, many stories that goes on in our brain. Is our brain ready to really give us the most out of life? Or are we going to bother it with things that we worry about? And are we going to bother it with things that we wish were so and we know are not? What are we going to do? How are we going to bring about the things we want? Well, we're going to learn to be like the karate student, like the karate master, or like the Zen Buddhist. Any one of them become peaceful first. They close their eyes, and even as they're getting ready to shoot, even as they're getting ready to do their karate movements, they open their eyes and they smoothly, beautifully are the thought in action. And when we are the thought in action, we don't have to think a thing about it. We let it be, and it is a wonderful demonstration of putting the ball exactly where we want it to be. Think about these things. They're quite exciting, quite beautiful, quite wonderful. And know that it works for all of us. Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.